Chapter 7. The attack was launched as we came within sight of the clearing, with an abruptness that precluded all defense. Leaping out of the thickets like stags, the men of Soror were upon us before we could lift our weapons to our shoulders. The curious thing about this aggression was that it was not exactly directed against our persons. I sensed this at once, and my intuition was soon confirmed. At no moment did I feel myself in danger of death, as Hector had been. They were not after our lives, but after our clothes and all the accessories we were carrying. In a moment, we were overwhelmed. A mass of probing hands stripped us of our weapons and our ammunition pouches and threw these aside, while others struggled to peel off our clothes and tear them to shreds. Once I had understood what had provoked their fury, I passively gave in. And if I received a few scratches, I was not seriously injured. Antel and Levin did the same, and we presently found ourselves stark naked in the midst of a group of men and women, who, visibly reassured to see us in this state, started dancing round us, encircling us too tightly all the same for us to be able to escape. There were now at least 100 of them on the edge of the clearing. Those who were further away then fell upon our launch with a fury comparable to that which had induced them to pull our clothes to pieces. Despite the despair I felt at seeing them pillage our precious vehicle, I pondered on their behaviour, and I fancied I could discern an essential principle in it. These beings were roused to fury by objects. All that was manufactured provoked their anger and also their fear. When they seized some instrument or other, they held it in their hands only long enough to break it, tear it apart, or twist it. Then they promptly hurled it as far away as possible, as though it was a live coal, only to pick it up again and complete its destruction. They made me think of a cat fighting with a big rat that was half dead but still dangerous, or of a mongoose that had caught a snake. I had already noted the curious fact that they had attacked us without a single weapon, without even using sticks. We witnessed, powerless, the sacking of our launch. The door had soon yielded to their thrusts. They rushed inside and destroyed everything that could be destroyed, in particular the precious navigating instruments, and scattered the bits and pieces. This pillage lasted quite a time. Then, since the metal envelope alone remained intact, they came back to our group. We were jostled, pulled this way and that, and finally dragged off into the depths of the jungle. Our situation was becoming more and more alarming. Disarmed, stripped, obliged to march barefoot at too fast a pace, we could neither exchange our impressions or even complain. The slightest attempt at conversation provoked such menacing reactions that we had to resign ourselves to a painful silence. And yet these creatures were men like us. Clad and shod, they would scarcely have drawn attention in our world. Their women were all beautiful, though none could rival Nova's splendor. The latter followed close behind us. On several occasions when I was jostled by my guards, I turned round towards her, imploring a sign of compassion which I fancied I once discerned on her face. But this, I think, was only wishful thinking. As soon as my gaze met hers, she tried to avoid it, without her eyes expressing any sentiment other than bewilderment. This cavalry lasted several hours. I was overwhelmed with fatigue, my feet bleeding, my body covered in scratches caused by the reeds through which these men of Soror made their way with impunity, like snakes. My companions were in no better shape than myself, and Antel was stumbling at every step by the time we at last reached what appeared to be the end of this march. The forest was less thick at this spot, and the undergrowth had given place to short grass. Here our guards released us, and without bothering about us, started playing once more, chasing one another through the trees, which seemed to be the main occupation of their existence. We sank to the ground, numb with fatigue, taking advantage of this respite to put our heads together. It needed all the philosophy of our leader to prevent us from being engulfed in dark despair. Night was falling. We could, no doubt, attempt an escape by taking advantage of the general inattention, but then what? Even if we managed to retrace our steps, we had no chance of being able to use the launch. It seemed wiser to remain where we were, and to try to win over these disconcerting beings. Moreover, we were famished. We rose to our feet and took a few timid steps. They went on with their senseless games without paying any attention. Nova alone seemed not to have forgotten us. She started following us at a distance, always turning her head away when we looked at her. After wandering at random, we discovered we were in a sort of encampment, where the shelters were not even huts, but nest-like constructions, like those built by the big apes in our African forests. A few interwoven branches, without any binding, placed on the ground or wedged into the forks of low trees. Some of these nests were occupied. Men and women, I cannot see how else I can describe them, lay stretched out inside them, often in couples, fast asleep and snuggling up together as dogs do in the cold. Other larger shelters served entire families, and we noticed several children, who looked extremely handsome and healthy. This provided no solution to our feeding problem. At last we saw at the foot of a tree a family getting ready to eat, but their meal was hardly designed to tempt us. They were pulling to pieces, without the aid of any instrument, a fairly large animal resembling a deer. With their nails and their teeth, they tore off bits of the raw meat, which they devoured after merely removing a few shreds of skin. There was no sign of a fireplace in the neighborhood. This feast turned our stomachs, and in any case, after drawing a little closer, we realized we were by no means welcome to share it. Quite the contrary. Angry growls made us draw back quickly. It was Nova who came to our rescue. Did she do so because she had finally understood that we were hungry? Could she really understand anything? Or was it because she was famished herself? In any case, she went up to a big tree, encircled the trunk with her thighs, climbed up into the branches, and disappeared in the foliage. A few moments later we saw a shower of fruit, resembling bananas, fall to the ground. Then she climbed down again, picked up one or two of these, and began devouring them, without taking her eyes off us. After a moment's hesitation, we grew bold enough to imitate her. The fruit was quite good, and we were able to eat our fill while she watched us without protesting. After drinking some water from a stream, we decided to spend the night there. Each of us chose a corner in the grass in which to build a nest similar to the others in the colony. Nova showed some interest in our work, even to the point of approaching me and helping me to break a recalcitrant branch. I was moved by this gesture, which young Levin found so vexing that he lay down at once, buried himself in the grass and turned his back on us. As for Professor Antel, he had fallen asleep already, so dead tired was he. I took some time to finish off my bed, still closely watched by Nova, who had drawn some distance away. When I lay down in my turn, she stood motionless for a moment or two, as though unable to make up her mind. Then she took a few hesitant steps towards me. I did not move a muscle, for fear of frightening her away. She lay down beside me. I still did not move. She eventually snuggled up against me, and there was nothing to distinguish us from the other couples occupying the nests of this strange tribe. But although this girl was marvelously beautiful, I still did not regard her at that time as a woman. Her manner was that of a pet animal seeking the warmth of its master. I appreciated the warmth of her own body, without it ever crossing my mind to desire her. I ended up by falling asleep in this outlandish position, half dead from fatigue, pressed against this strangely beautiful and unbelievably mindless creature. After bestowing no more than a glance on the satellite of Soror, which, smaller than our moon, cast a yellowish light over the jungle.